And I'd venture to say that each one of us gathered here today is well acquainted with various ways, by various paths and various roads. And as we travel, we encounter narrow roads, broad highways, sometimes 4-6 lanes or so wide. And I know what I'm talking about because I've experienced all this. You travel across the United States or Canada, you'll find all kinds of roads that they eventually get you to where you want to go. But regardless of the conditions of these ways or roads that we travel, they will eventually accomplish one important thing, and that is they will get you for your long for destination. So when we came to Florida, I says, how am I going to go there? How am I going to get there? It wasn't an easy task for me. But regardless of the conditions of these ways or roads that we travel, they will eventually accomplish one important thing. Can we in some way relate this natural experience to one's relationship to God? Sister Balco and I are happy to be here, to be with all of you, and to be with our son Michael. You never know what your children are going to do. See, I was a homebody from West Newton, Pennsylvania, and I didn't go too far away from home to find a wife. And in fact, I found one real close. It was only 100 miles away. But my son did a little. He was more adventurous than me. But we were so happy of our daughter-in-law, Vicki, and their privilege to be here. We in some way relate our natural experiences to our relationship to God. And if you keep that in mind, the experiences of your life, how do they relate to the Heavenly Father? Let us look at a scripture to give us an insight into this question. And that scripture is Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 13th verse. Matthew 7, 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And these are many. And there are many who do go in it. What did Jesus mean when he said, wide is the gate and broad is the way? It appears he was telling us of the conditions that face mankind are not very pleasant. We know that the scriptures clearly tell us that when Adam and Eve sinned against the righteous laws of God by partaking of the forbidden fruit, they opened up the way that would draw mankind from the loving provisions of the Heavenly Father. Their choice would bring a course that would gradually take them and their posterity downward. It would be marked by sin, selfishness, pride, lust, gain, pain, and death. Now we know how quickly this downward course affects our first parents after they were driven out of the perfect Garden of Eden. They were told, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, until thou shalt return to the grave, from whence thou wast taken." Genesis 3:19. And how quickly they would experience the pangs of sorrow and death. Think for a minute, dear brethren. How did Adam and Eve feel when they learned that their son Cain had killed his brother Abel? If one has lost a child just from illnesses or an accident, how the heart aches in that loss. Well, Sister Balco and I know what that's all about. The loss of a child. We lost our son David. He was 20 months old. He took sick at 8 o'clock in the morning. And 12 o'clock he was gone. And the doctors were there and they couldn't do a thing for him. It's just the way things work. So we know what it is to lose a child. We know what it is, what a great sacrifice, what a great suffering. Yet, there is a moment when, like, how did Adam and Eve feel when they learned that their son Cain had killed his brother Abel? If one has lost a child just from illness, or the accident, how the heart aches in that line. Yet to have an act of murder enter the scene as it did for the Adam and Eve would be devastating to the parents. And from that early beginning, mankind has gradually, and for the most part, trodden that broad way. Some go quickly down that broad way by giving in to the wiles of the flesh, of the adversary, and the world. Others have sought to restrain their passions and temptations and trod down the broad road a little slower. They attempt to live a better life, but generally speaking, the awareness of the world and the just too much for them, and we see that regardless of that tendency, they may follow the end result, which is death. Restoring the dust of the ground from which man was taken. How sad would all these things be, brethren, if there would never be a change to this condition? We all know that Satan is still the prince of this world, and that he is constantly striving to keep the human family in his grasp. But thanks be to God that we do see a beautiful situation to all these ills and evils that still plague mankind. And this solution was provided nearly 2,000 years ago with the birth of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 13th chapter 8th verse, we are told that the Heavenly Father had provided for such a wondrous Savior before the foundation of the world was set. We see then that the Almighty God knew what path Adam and Eve would take, a perfect couple placed in a perfect Garden of Eden. No, God did not cause them to forsake the choice that they had made, or to take the choice they had made. But in His wisdom, He knew that they would succumb and choose the path that they did. I don't know if you've ever wondered by that in your life. Why did Adam and Eve chose the path that they did? What a marvelous creator we have, because they were free to choose from themselves what they should do. The knowing that the path Adam and Eve would take, He provided in His due time a release from that penalty. Dying thou shalt die. And that release would come through Jesus. Of course, Adam and Eve didn't know that at the time. The scriptures greatly, earnestly teach that Jesus had a pre-human existence. And He is called the Logos in John 1:1. Now the term Logos is translated as the Word. And He was informed to use that he was a God and worked with the Almighty God in all the creative works. John further states that this beautiful creation willingly gave up that life and was born as a perfect human being. Now this is brought out for us in Philippians 2nd chapter verses 7 to 8. And here we are told that in this pre-human existence, He the Logos, as we read before, divested Himself of the heavenly position. And He took on a bondman's form and was made in the likeness of men. Other scriptures tell us that He was born in Bethlehem. Miraculous event. He was nurtured by His mother, Mary, and at the age of 30, gave Himself in full consecration and was baptized in the River Jordan. Now, our Lord Jesus wasn't forced to do this, but desired to lay down His perfect human life for Adam and all Adam's posterity, the human family. In Revelation, 5th chapter, 5th verse, we read, "Do not weep. Behold the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has fulfilled to open the scroll of life." This assures us that Jesus willingly gave His perfect human life at Calvary, and His sacrifice was accepted when we see that He was raised to glory and honor and immortality on the third day. You know, that seems like a light statement, my dear brother, but that is so important. And in due time, each member of the human family, including Adam and Eve, will be given the opportunity to walk upon a new road, a new path, so to speak. For Isaiah tells us, in Isaiah 35th chapter verse 8, we find this new path so beautifully manifested, or the as a highway of holiness. This will not be a narrow way, for all the human family will be invited to walk on that highway and return to harmony with God through the righteous laws and provisions that will take effect. Now we're talking about the kingdom. Those who may have not been acquainted with God, or even know that there is only one true and living God, will be given every opportunity to accept the righteous ways of that glorious kingdom on earth. The beauty of the thing is that there will be no obstacles on that highway of holiness. There will be no threats, no detours, so to speak, such as false doctrines or temptations or ravenous beasts such as Satan, who is prince of this present world. Even those in the great prison house of death will be awakened and given the opportunity to walk up that beautiful highway that will lead to perfect human life on a perfected earth. This is what is in store for the human family. But our eyes of understanding have been opened to see that there is a way of life, a narrow way, that is given to some of the human family at this present time. We go back to Matthew 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14 for this text. The problem is, brethren, you know, old age, we're thankful for it, but we have to realize that while we get older, there's things in our body that takes place that don't work so good no more. Even my glasses don't help so much. I can see the words, but it becomes difficult to read. You know, we enter through a narrow gate. How straight is the gate, and sufficient or narrow, difficult or narrow, the way which leadeth unto life? And few there be that find it. What can we gather from this text? It is telling us that during this present period of time in God's plan, there is a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is the way of flesh in Hebrews 10:20. We see with the sacrifice of Jesus and the acceptance by the Heavenly Father, a narrow way of life was opened. When one accepts the merit of this true sacrifice after accepting the Father's invitation to give one's heart in full consecration, this has the blessed privilege of becoming a son of God. This grand privilege is extended only to a few, 144,000. When you think of 144,000 alone, you think of it as a great number. But when you think of billions, 144,000 isn't so big. Of all the billions of people who ever lived on this earth, 144,000 to be taken out of this earth into a heavenly realm is quite a small number. Daily, we strive to give up all of our earthly hopes and walk in the steps of the Master. And if we are faithful, even unto death, we will inherit the heavenly kingdom and be joint heirs with Christ. And how wonderful it is, dear brethren, to truly understand this way of life. Each holds on to this precious gem of truth. And John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. By coming to the Father through the merit of Jesus' shed blood, one is accepted by the Father as sons. Faith in any creed, in any system of religion, or in any teaching not founded upon Jesus, the great Redeemer, is a great delusion. And we realize few find the true and living faith during this present time. And why is that so, brethren? Because the adversary has blinded the eyes of many so that they believe not, lest the light of the gospel of Christ should shine unto them. For 2 Corinthians 4:4. Let us make no mistake, brethren. The way to obtain this gift of life, immortality, the heavenly reward, is a difficult way. It requires strength of character, a reliance on Christ and the Heavenly Father in every circumstances of life. And many of these circumstances of life take us to the throne of grace for meditation and prayer for help in every time of need, for offering thanks for His leading us on the narrow way. I don't know how you act personally in your life, but if you want to be in the hands of the Heavenly Father, you have to go to Him. You have to talk to Him. You have to serve Him and love Him. And if you do these things, He will take you under His wings through the robe of righteousness of His Son, Christ Jesus. I recently came across a remark made by the late Eleanor Roosevelt, wife of the former president. And this is what she said. He who loses money loses much, but he who loses faith loses all, loses faith. The faith we have, as we term it. And I thought that was a pretty good statement she made. Our most holy faith gives us very positive message from the Lord. It implies a precious promise that will not go unfulfilled. But our God, our Heavenly Father, is unchangeable, and He cannot lie. His word and His character are the basis of our hope, a living hope that grows each day, that we by be granted to live. Our hope is based on a precious promise that keeps us strong. And that promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you believe that and have faith in that, it is true. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And He will keep you and guide you in all your way. We know of a certainty that once the last member of the bride of Christ, the church, the 144,000, has gone beyond the veil and has gained immortality, something wonderful will take place. And what is that? What do you think that it is? What do you think that wonderful thing is that's going to take place? The highway of unholiness will be opened very quickly after the present institutions, the present evil creeds, and all mankind problems will come to an end in the time of trouble. Never again to have control over the human family. And Satan will be bound and for 1,000 years by the glorified Christ head and body. So we see, before the Satan is bound, the church has to be completed. The spiritual life of the earth has to be completed in heaven. The highway of holiness will be opened very quickly after the present institutions, all the present evil creeds, and all mankind problems will come to an end in the time of trouble, never again to have access or control over the human family. The glorified Christ, head and body, the Christ will open the blind eyes of all humanity, and they will all see the light that comes from the knowledge of the true and living God. The knowledge of the Lord will fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. All of that day in that kingdom will know the Lord from the least to the greatest. In Jeremiah 31:34. And all those who have died in sin and their past sins and erroneous ways, even evil ways, will be forgiven. And all will have an opportunity to live again, free from sickness and pain, wars and danger and death, and all other things that have plagued mankind for over 6,000 years. Nothing shall hurt nor destroy in all God's holy mountain. Isaiah 11:9. A new covenant will be in effect in that glorious kingdom on earth. And by obeying the conditions of that kingdom rule, each of the human family can obtain perfect and everlasting life on perfected earth. Surely we are ever thankful to our Father for his gracious plan of salvation, salvation through Christ. The bride of Christ, 144,000 who walk in the narrow way during this gospel age have been faithful even unto death, will receive the first blessings from the provisions of the Father. These, after this is accomplished, that beautiful highway of holiness shall be a reality. And there is no highway of holiness right now to walk up. Because a highway of holiness, a highway is a freeway, and anybody can go on it. You can't. There is no such freeway today. Brethren, let us always bear in mind this one great thing. Life, whether it be in the heavenly realm or in the earthly realm, is a gift from God through His precious Son, Jesus. And life can only be gained by those who truly love the Father and His dear Son with all their heart. This is the great test for the followers of Christ now. It will be the test for all mankind in the millennial kingdom. And that's beautiful. So, recently I've been hearing some reports that the kingdom is already here. And it's very disturbing. because some are taking that up, that the kingdom is already set up. There is no kingdom, not yet. And I firmly believe it, because I firmly believe that the bride of Christ, the 144,000, is not yet gathered beyond the veil. And a kingdom cannot come until the bride of Christ is in beyond the veil as the ruling, and as they will be the ruling, they will rule the entire earth at that time. So there's many objects to this. So we thank the Heavenly Father for the privilege of addressing one another. May the Lord hold you fast and keep you in His loving care. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.